Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 293, part 1, Facts or False. Today is Friday, May 24th, 2013.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth. But a joke, but you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us start talking falsely now. The hour's getting late. Hey.
Tonight's message is entitled, False or Facts? Are you, in other words, fault-finding, and that's so easy to do. Or are you fact-finding? You're either going to be a person that finds fault, or you're going to be the person that finds facts. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Matthew 7 and 3. And I believe Jesus is having fun here. But anyway, with humor, he speaks to the fault finders. Sometimes you have to talk to the fault finders and show a little bit of humor to them. See, they don't have any humor in their lives. You have to bring some kind of a joy into their life. Why are you, he's saying, speck hunting? Well, you have a 2x4 hanging from your own eye. Please, in other words, he's saying, go to the mirror and behold the log that hangeth from thine own face. See, being serious does not mean that we have to be solemn. Praise God that I do have a sense of humor. Praise God, I have to think of my parents, and they always laugh through hard times. Gut jerking, laughing during hard times. Praise God that it rubbed off on me. And so being serious does not mean one has to be solemn. Of course, some people are serious with eyes that cry, and they're always crying. And some people are serious with eyes that sparkle and dance. They know the other end of the story. So I think we, like Jesus, must then develop a sense of humor. Because Jesus knew a merry heart, the Bible says, worketh like a what? A medicine. If you can get people laughing, if you're having fun in your life, you can leave the psychiatrist's couch. If you're in your work and you know where you're to be, and there's humor and there's laughter in that work, it will work like a medicine. Because a good laugh usually comes when we know the real facts. Ah, glory to God. When you know the real facts about what you're doing. You know why you're really called to do what you're doing. Are you hearing this message tonight? Look up and hear it. Oh, you on the radio, this tape, hear this message. When you know the facts of what you are doing and why you are doing it, you can have a merry heart. Though that merry heart will carry you through. And so here we have it. When we know the real facts, we can have a merry heart, no matter what is said. Jesus was trying to give the fault finders the facts about finding faults. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another and be healed, not someone else's faults. Oh, how good some of us are at confessing someone else's faults. Oh, glory. Let it hit home tonight. You're listening on the radio. You're listening to this tape. Finding someone else's faults. Hey, that isn't going to help you. Isn't going to do a bit of good, not one speck. Matthew 7, 1 and 3, listen carefully now. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. I'm not saying that Jesus is. And by the standard of measure, how you measure it out, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? But also, laughter is a very effective weapon. What can you do with someone that's always laughing? What can you do with someone that's always content because they know the facts? You're in music ministry and you know the facts of why you're in there. Now someone outside of that can find fault with it. See, they don't know the facts. And you, Jim over there, you're down there and you're doing your job. And someone can find fault with what you're doing. But they don't know the facts. See, being involved, you're going to know the facts. A person that isn't involved has to find fault because they got a little bit of guilt there. They're not doing anything. And you'll always find them finding fault. Do not judge, lest you be judged, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, we measure back to you. Are you hearing this? And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? But anyway, what could be more humorous than a man who ministers to a man with a speck in his eye, and he's got a great big log hanging out of his own eye? Are you hearing this? Wake up. Jesus is seeking to make the sin of fault-finding look stupid and to laugh it right out of court. Are you hearing this? Maybe you got caught up in that kind of thing yourself. We do at times, you know. But oh, there is a warning. And a definite warning from the Word of God. Don't find fault. Don't be picking out specks out of people's eyes. Be busy with what you're to be doing. Is that right? Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing this? Oh, if ever we needed to hear a word like this, we need to hear it right now and right tonight. To be sure, Jesus, even though he rebukes the speck seekers, wants us, I believe, to see people in degrees of worthfulness. Some you can trust to do jobs and some you can't. We can choose people without judging others. Now, we can't have Rosemary drive the truck. And that's not judging her. That's just saying that's plain and simple, she can't drive that truck. And so that's not judging. There is a choosing without judging. Are you here? Honest choosing. And so such conclusions then about people are just to be, and they're very necessary. There are choices to be made, like you're trying out someone. Let's say you're trying out a drummer. And of course, they're trying them out, then you're going to have to make a choice on who you're going to choose. And you have to come to an honest conclusion, and that is not fault finding. But listen to Jesus' next word, Matthew 7 and 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Some people, you just don't give the pearls. Some people, you just don't share the good things of God with. I don't care. Even a lot of times they're Christians. You don't share with them because they wouldn't enjoy it. They'll find some kind of a fault with it. Go to someone that knows the facts. Go to someone that will appreciate what's going on. But anyway, then we come to conclusions. And I believe then the Bible says here we can come to conclusions as to who pigs are or not. Well, a guy called me on the phone sometime back, several years back. He says, well, how would you know a pig? Well, I says, they have a very long snout, you see. They have these long floppy ears, and they're always grunting, and they're always talking with their mouth full. And they love to find mud, and they love to roll in it, and they love to sling it. And they'll usually bite on anything and anybody before having the facts. Now that, my friend, is a pig. Don't throw your pearls before such swine. Usually, I went on, they hang around slop buckets, and usually they'll swallow anything whole without checking it out. No matter who it may hurt, they'll swallow it. And they'll swallow it whole. And they'll always be where the slop bucket is. Are you hearing this? Maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you've been hanging around the slop buckets. I don't know. But what Jesus is really rebuking is fault finding. The looking for the worst instead of looking for the best. Today there was a woman that came in. She was with her husband. I didn't say anything. And she had $80 worth of groceries. I mean, everything you could name was in them grocery bags. That's what we do down here, you know. Pass out groceries. And she had two great big large $12 cakes besides that. All the vegetables and everything. And I seen her looking real evil, and I says, why do you have that evil look on your face? I don't understand that kind of a look. She didn't get any white bread. And I recognized that right then and there that she had a problem, that she was a fault finder. The fact was, she was sitting there with a lot of groceries. Now, I thought to myself, isn't that sad that she's peeking and looking out so mad in between all of the blessings of God, all the things that God has given her, and she's looking in between these cakes and in between these grocery bags that could hardly be carried, and was finding fault because she didn't get white bread in her bag. Now, I thought, oh, how that is with people. How good we can become at fault finding instead of looking at the facts. Are you hearing this? Now, I suppose if someone came down here, they could find something wrong if they really look hard enough, but of course they wouldn't even have to look too hard. But if they came down here to learn the facts, they'll have to go to work. Going to work, they aren't going to find so many faults. See, then they become part of it. They say, well, hey, don't knock it until you try it. No, I'm just talking about our ministry because that's what I'm into. I don't even get out of here. I can't talk about nothing else. I don't go anywhere. I live a very shallow life. I live right down here on the north side. I hardly get out of here. I'm here 7 days a week. I don't find no fault with that. I love to be down here. And so are you hearing this? Why do you see, saying, the speck in your brother's eye? It's not that huge, is it? It's not that it shouts out for attention, does it? When we see a thing so small, it's because we're looking for it. Now, I venture to say, you come in with a new dress on or some kind of new clothing on. Now, I really look that over. I could find something wrong with it. That's like someone gets a new car, see, and so this guy's envious, jealous, envious. Well, let's say envious, because that's worse. And he goes up and down in the car. Oh, yeah, it's a nice car. Yeah, I like it. Huh, is that a dent in there? Looks like it, oh, it's probably been rolled before or something like that. It's got a little ripple in it. Did you have it checked out? Does it burn any oil? Now, you've only had it 10 minutes. Gee, the tires look like they're worn on one side. I bet this car has been hit. Looks like it's kind of running like a dog that's been kicked in the rear. You know what I mean? It's kind of running off to the side like this. And they're so good at finding faults. Now, the guy before that, he was driving a Model A or a Model T or something like that, or an old Essex. Here he has his brand new car, and the fault finder has to find something wrong. Don't that cut it? Don't that beat it all? And so they're all over the fault finders. But of course, the log is, of course, noticeable. It advertises. It advertises itself. Log people let their intentions hang out. And so you kind of get to see them. You say, Lord, look at this person talking like this. Now, don't find too much fault with them, but there is an honest criticism of people. There really is. And here's this person finding all this fault and so on. You know what? They're drawing more attention to themselves. Unless you fall into that fault finding yourself. What a miserable place to be. Doesn't give God glory. Doesn't make you happy. Gives you a gut ache. And also, the people with a log in their eye, they take up a lot of space. They're swinging this log around. They don't leave room for anybody else. And I hope this gets to those people out there, you listening on the radio, you listening to this tape. I hope it gets to you if you're that type of person. Well, I wonder what that guy's preaching. I'm just going to turn it, just for curiosity's sake, I'm going to turn on the radio. Well, turn it on. See, but no one will notice a tiny speck, but a very practiced speck finder. Someone that's always looking for something wrong. The worrier, the do-nothing, is always going to pick out that thing that's wrong. The Pharisees, the legalists, they'll always find that thing that's wrong. Nothing's ever right. Nothing, they don't even see any of the facts. And why do we search for specks? Because we hope to find something wrong. Well, looks pretty good on the outside. I'll just take a little. I'll hang around. I'll find something wrong in here. Got to be something wrong. There has got to be something wrong. What's right? Think on whatsoever things are good, the Bible says, and pure, the Bible says. Think on those things. Why concern yourself with the faults of everyone else? Don't do that. And the same measure that you measured out to others, it'll be measured back to you. I mean, we just can't give this person that's criticized a clear bill of health, can we? Isn't that what Satan did when God calls to attention the high character of Job? He is amazed at how easily God is fooled. Doth Job fear God for naught? Satan suggests that Job is not a good man. And if Job is God's best, he is bad, then there is no goodness at all. He can't then find anything wrong, so he says, check out your servant's motives. Now, when you start to nitpick with a person doing good, they all have motives. And one of the motives you're going to find in someone that's moving ahead is a competitive spirit. But the Bible says we run the race to win, hallelujah. And there is that spirit of competition, hallelujah. And so if you take that wrong, and you start to take that wrong, and you find that little speck there, you can take that whole thing and make it muddy and make it dirty and make it soiled and make it perverted. And you can take all the good that anyone does and make it all bad. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Whew. Are you hearing this? And so I said, he can't find anything wrong, so he checks out motives. Well, let's check out motives. Why are you really, really, and you can do this to yourself too. I wonder why I'm really, really down here. Is it for half for me and half for the Lord? It really doesn't matter. The point is that you're down here. And the point is your flesh doesn't really want to be down here, and you're down here, you're having a battle, and that tells a story to me. Ha! Say amen, somebody. Isn't that right? And why is Carolyn really down here? Well, I suppose she has different reasons for being down here. Isn't that right? Okay. Maybe all the good things you do, Carolyn. Someone comes in and they say, oh, there's Carolyn. She's taking a cake home. I know why Carolyn's down here. She likes to take chocolate cakes home. That's her main reason for being there. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And they can take all the good that you do, and they can twist it around, and they can make it look evil. And they can find something wrong, Carolyn, and that one day that you blow it, that one day that you blow your cool, aha, what a feisty little woman. Ooh, she's down here pretending to do good, and you've been down here all of these years. How quickly we can forget, and how quickly we can take and find fault, and we don't see the fact that the person's there every day. Get up in the morning, drive the truck, go way out there, go around the pools of water when they have floods, go this way, go that way, come back. Why are you down here? For a chocolate cake? Hey, there's a whole lot of cheaper ways of getting a chocolate cake, and I'm just using that. See, you have to sometimes find humor in things. Hey, you got a 2x4 hanging out of your face, fella. You think God has no humor? Listen, the Bible says the laughter of the Lord is your strength. That's how Paul and Silas got out of jail. They started singing and making merry, made God happy, started laughing, and the chains dropped off. The cell doors opened up. Come on now. Come on now. Did you ever see a happy fault finder? Have you ever seen a happy fault finder? No, they're too busy finding fault. Too busy looking for converts. Oh, you mean they try to convert people? They not only try to convert people, they do convert people. When someone's getting ready to lay down the plow, they'll go right over with them. Say amen, somebody, my God, and it's a time right now. I'll tell you, it is a time right now when you're going to see a whole lot of that going on. I just tell people, hey, don't threaten me. There's the door. Glory to God. Lay your plow down. Say amen. But don't look back and start, you know, so you're mowing all over the place. You're liable to mow somebody down. You're too busy looking at other people, finding fault with other people. You can't even do your job. Now, how many are hearing this message? And I hope you're hearing it. I hope you're hearing it on the radio on this tape. I hope you're hearing it. But imagine anyway, let's have a little fun with this. Imagine when we enter into fault finding. If we were to look like a pig. If our bodies would start to take on the shape of a pig. Something like when the wolf man starts to change. You ever seen that? Da-da, 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 da-da. And then some pictures change until he's got a hair all over. Imagine when we start to find fault, if your nose would start to grow. You'd have them two little holes on the end. Da-da, da-da, huh? Then the ears would pop out of the top of your head and start hanging down. And your eyes would sink way back in your head. You'd get that beady, mean, fault-finding look. Huh? Your shoulders would get all rounded off and porky-looking. Huh? And your hands would turn to little, you know, little old hoofies. Huh? Pig's feet. Oh, wouldn't that be good? See, we enter in the pig pen and sit around and converse and we find fault. And we snort and we snort and we wee, wee. Got the picture? The picture is, don't dine with swine. Don't sit around with pigs. And pigs are people that are always finding fault, Jesus said. What humor. Do you think that they knew what Jesus was talking about? You better believe it. So the next time we find fault, let's just envision ourselves with a swine's head. And people will be running, leaving the tables at Perkins and running into the mirror to check out to see if their face turned into a pig head yet. Oh, God. But just envision the next time you get into a hog, pig, swine, fault-finding conversation with someone and enter into it, that your head turns into that of a swine's head with a long snout and a drippy old nostrils and the beady eyes and the floppy ears. Like Miss Piggy. Are you hearing this? You can be sure of this. A dove will never rest upon a pig, light upon a pig. The anointing will leave and a stink will develop, and you'll gather with your own group. Ever happened to you? As to me. I think, like the prodigal son, we must come to ourselves and realize our own rebellion and our own fault finding. Because our own fault finding can put us in the hog pen. But wouldn't that stop us from finding fault? If our heads were turned into a hog's head? You imagine yourself being in a cafe and a person starts to find fault while you're in Perkins with all the other Christians in there, probably on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night after service. You're all sitting in there perking at Perkins. Huh? We're all sitting in there and someone at the table starts to finding fault. Listen, whenever you got a whole lot of us together, somebody's going to find fault. Isn't that terrible? And so, right away, we try to quiet this fault finder down. Psst, psst, hey, quiet. Your head is turning into a hog's head. Be sure your sin of fault finding will find you out. Your head, in other words, is taking on the characteristics of a pig. And the waitress approaches and says, "Sir, you and this pig have got to get out of here." Wouldn't that be an embarrassment? Well, that's the way that the Holy Spirit sees us. That's the way God sees us. That's the way that cloud of witnesses sees us. When we come into fault finding. But why, the Bible says, do we look for specks? Why do we hope to find something wrong? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. Sometimes we look for the worst because of our own bad conscience. Maybe when our own failures and flops make us feel uncomfortable, I guess probably we do get a little bit of comfort out of saying, "I'm not the only one." But you know something, folks? Numbers doesn't cut it. Numbers does not lessen the guilt of the individual. Be sure your sin of finding fault will find you out. You ain't going to make things one bit better by finding fault because you're miserable and your conscience is bad and you haven't confessed your own faults and your own fears and your do-nothing attitudes and your own worry. I mean, that'd be like if you're dying of cancer. Would it help you at all if the doctor came in and said, "Hey, millions are dying all over of cancer. Don't think nothing of it." Would that help you? Huh? "We're going to have to cut off your leg," but there's a lot of one-legged people around. Hey! I think a lot of times we try to find comfort in our own morally sick lives by pointing the finger at someone else. Someone else's faults. Oh, God, people. Is anybody in here, tonight, or anybody on the radio this day, is there anybody that has no faults? Raise your hand up, because I want to see you. I want to see that perfect person with no faults. Where are you? Where is that person with no faults? There's only one, folks. Jesus Christ. And glory to God, He died for you with all of your faults so that they may be covered. And love covers a multitude of sins. And love covers all your faults. And Jesus says, "I find no fault in any of you." Isn't that beautiful? When you get to heaven, do you think you're going to be judged according to your sin? No, that's passed over. You'll be judged on the way that you love people. On the way that you took the facts and said, "Well, this person is beautiful because of this and because of that and because of this and because of that," and you didn't find fault with them. Your attitude of love, you'll be judged on the way that you gave love away, on the way that you said, "I find no fault in you." That's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message that's getting laid aside. That's the ones that the pig and the swine are trampling over and slopping around with. And glory to God, sometimes I wish they'd get them great big snouts out there so you knew who they are. But you know, you do know who they are. Because when they start snorting and rooting and tearing up the garden, you ever been on the farm? And they get out into the garden out there and they tear up this and they tear up the lettuce and they tear up the tomatoes and they tear up the corn and they root around out there. You know who they are. You know who they are. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Oh, God, I'm so glad I'm able to preach this tonight. At least I'm not as bad as the other ones. I think sometimes we tear other people down and make ourselves look good. Or we stand up looking like a fashion model at 112 pounds and say, poor Alice, she needs to reduce, thus drawing the attention to our slender bodies. But it doesn't work. Jim, when you overhaul an engine, do you start by tearing someone else's down first? Right? When you overhaul an engine, you don't start by tearing another engine down first. You start with that engine. Start with yourself. If there is any overhauling to be done, do it yourself. How many hearing this? Maybe you don't want to hear it. You're listening on the radio. Maybe you got that radio on and you're sneaking to listen. Are you sneaking to listen? I hope you are sneaking to listen, because you get them piggy ears full. Glory to God. You'll get your snout. I'll give you a snout full. Say amen, somebody. And I think sometimes we find fault out of sheer envy. I'm talking to him now. Out of sheer envy, you might find fault with your mother-in-law or your brother or someone at work or your boss. Why? Because you envy them. Because you envy them. Are you hearing this? And I think that is the worst of all to envy. Envy is not jealousy. Jealousy can be perfectly normal. I mean, it can be wrong when we hold on to it. Well, you get jealous, don't you? Oh, that'd be a lie to see you never get jealous. Your dad says, I'll just work it with you. Your dad says, I'm going to give you a new car. And there's a difference in age here, about 2 or 3 years, right? And you're the elder feller, right? And I'm going to give you a new car. That's going to make you a little bit jealous, isn't it? That's normal. It'll even be normal if you hit him on top of the head. And that'd be real normal if you said, in Christ, if you said you're sorry. Are you hearing it? Carolyn, did you hear what I said there about the chocolate cake? Did it make sense? And Jim, about the overhaul, did it make sense? Isn't that right? And about the music, it makes sense, doesn't it? So easy to find fault when you're not involved. Do you know what it is to be a target behind that for 15 years and be the kind of preacher I am? Vibrant and telling the truth all the time, no matter how it hurts, and doing things that I necessarily don't want to do sometimes, but for a cause and for a plan and for a purpose, people are going to find fault with it. Say amen. Some you preachers, be encouraged. There's no greater joy. And keep your sense of humor, glory to God, because I tell you, there's a whole lot of humor at looking at a lot of pigs rooting and snorting around doing nothing. Hallelujah. They make me even look good. Say amen, somebody. Whew. There's a whole lot of people out there need a facelift, I'll tell you. No, that's perfectly normal, son, that you'd get jealous of your brother. It's only wrong when we hold on to it. That'd be like a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe one of the other flirts with someone else. Well, we expect that they would get jealous, right? That's why people do it most times. And some love it. Oh, don't be silly. And then off they go to the restroom for a profile checkout or a bicep checkout. See, jealousy is the child of love. Hear that. Jealousy is the child of love, but envy is the child of hate. Love envieth not. Love envieth not. We serve a jealous God. God is jealous over your love. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give your life to gain your life. What is your life? What are you willing to give up? Envy, oh, it has such a long criminal record. From Cain's offering, being rejected, and Abel's being accepted, and a cause to death. Saul, you remember, threw a spear at David out of envy. David was playing on his harp. Come on, little David, play on your harp. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And whoomp, that spear was just a shaking in the wall. Then we go to the elder son and the prodigal son talking about that. Well, you know, the elder son almost started a fire there in the bushes, asking and questioning all the servants about his brother's return. And envy even crucified the Lord. They envied him. They envied the Lord Jesus Christ. They crucified him. They envied him. They called him a whoremonger and a drunk and a pervert. And so sometimes we can find fault to build up ourselves out of envy. Oh, why is this speck-seeking so wrong? I think it's wrong a lot of times in motive. I think advice can be good, however. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But I think in order for us to go ahead and find any kind of fault or criticize or any kind of a constructive kind of a thing in criticism to another brother, we must first see our own faults so that we can relate with other people. We can say, oh yeah, I can see how that would happen. Check out your own eye for a log jam before you go on out there. I think we must be motivated by goodwill. We must practice seeing good in people and elevate that. How easy it is to find the bad in people. Well, I just don't like him or her because. Usually it doesn't have very sound basis. Jealousy, you usually see it, but envy blinds you. It puts a 2x4 in your eye. Oh, God. You remember the story of Mary when she broke the cruse of oil? And she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that was so beautiful. But Judas, with an eye for the very worst, says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And a short time later, he sold out all goodness for 30 pieces of silver. Envy. See, it sounds reasonable sometimes, doesn't it? He could have sold this oil. Look at all the money he could have made. Look at the poor, sure. That's what Jesus is always preaching. No, they're anointing his head. Hey, 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 hey. He was in that how about this and how about that group. Hey, did you hear? And how about that? And did you see that? And how about? Well, I never. And then, and how about this? And how about that? Well, Agnes, it just goes to show you. Mm-hmm. Huh? Say amen, somebody. Good God.
There you have it. That was episode 293. That was part one of Facts or False. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.